My message today is entitled this, The Strong Will Survive. The strong will survive. See, Charles Darwin in his theory of evolution, like just hear me out for a minute, don't shut me off yet. He has this thing called natural selection, right? That the strong will survive and the weak won't. And there's moments where I see that there's some truth in that. From the time I was in high school up until even my adulthood, one of the things I've loved to do is lift weights. I was this little skinny kid when I was in high school and didn't weigh a buck 30 dripping wet, and I decided that I wanted to bulk up and put on some weight, and so I did all of that. And I learned a little bit about the theory of natural selection one morning when I was in the gym working out. And really, actually, I had to eat a big piece of humble pie in the process. And so I was there. It was chest and back day. Like, those are my favorite days. Like, I love the bench press, all right? And that's what I love to do. And I was doing the decline. And I had my weight on. I had about 225 pounds on. And I was going at it. I was doing a few. And about the fourth or fifth one, my left arm just, like, gave out on me. I know, like, and here's the thing, though. Like, one thing I don't do is I don't clip my weights on, because I'm at least smart enough to think if this happens, I can tilt, and I'll get out of this. Here was the problem. I was on the decline, and so I was trying to keep this bar from rolling up to my face while I'm holding it down here, and I just have this split second where I don't know what to do, and there's only one other person in the gym, and it's a woman. I know. And so here's this guy with this bar trying to keep himself, and I'm trying to figure out what to do, and this woman has to come over and help this guy who's trying to lift weights at the gym rescue himself before he kills himself. And so in that moment, I had to eat this great big piece of humble pie as this woman was so kind to help me in that moment, and I realized I am not as strong as I thought I was in that moment. And we kind of all have some of those moments where we think we're strong enough, or we think we have to be strong, and then something happens and we realize that I'm not as strong as I thought I was. And strength seems to have this funny thing in today's world. We kind of have a different idea of what strength and courage really are, and it plays out a lot of different ways. And I saw this video this past week, and if we could share it, I think this is one way a lot of people think about strength when it comes to today's world. I said, don't mess with somebody's birthday candles, right? As you guys watch that video, I think here's the reactions that are happening everywhere here and online right now. Somebody right now is judging me, saying, I can't believe you played that in church. I promise you, somebody's thinking that. The ones that are laughing are like, that's just funny. I don't care who you are. Some of you parents are thinking, yeah, that kid got exactly what she deserved. Shouldn't have blown out my kid's candle. And some of you are thinking, somebody should have spanked that kid. She should have never done that before. It's like we don't know what to do in that moment, right? But in the world that we live in today, like, when somebody does us wrong, we think the strong and courageous thing to do is to put that person in their place, right? As I watched that video this week, I can't help but feel like that's a little bit of what the political world feels like right now, too. A couple of people having a hair pulling match and fighting it out. That we have these moments where the world tries to give us this picture and this idea of what it means to be strong. And most of the time, it's, you're not going to wrong me. And when you do, you're going to pay. I'm going to make sure that what you have done to me, you get back in return, right? That you're not going to do me wrong. For me growing up in those moments, I remember, like, my parents always told me, man, you don't start a fight, but you can sure finish it, right? Anybody else have a parent like that? Yeah, that's the way I grew up too. So glad to see there's a few of you left in this world. The problem with that to me is what does Jesus say is strength and courage? Because the reality is, somewhere along the way, we're defined by our title as Christians to no longer live by what the world determines we ought to live by, but we're actually defined by living by what Christ says to live by. And so if Christ was going to define what strength and courage is, how would he define that? And then how would we get something like that? Anybody in here like me, like I could use a little more strength and courage right now in today's world. Boy, me too. And here's what I want us to get today. Strength and courage comes from walking with Jesus. Hear me out. You don't find strength and courage and then find Jesus. You find Jesus and you end up realizing you've got strength and courage. So many people think one of these days I'm going to be strong enough and I'm going to take that bold step and I'm going to come to Jesus. No, no, no. You come to Jesus and you'll realize I'm bold enough and I've got the courage to do whatever he's called me to do because I found Jesus. We try to invert that process somewhere along the way, but the reality is God has given us this picture of what strength and courage really means. And he's been doing this work in me because as I was reading over the last few weeks, God keeps bringing me back to this. See, there's a story about Joshua. You can read it on your own time if you want, but there's three places, if you know the story of Joshua at all. He followed Moses, one of the greatest leaders Israel had ever seen, and he was going to lead them into battle and in the promised land. But before God ever allowed Joshua to take that leadership, three times God spoke into his life and said, be strong and courageous. But as Joshua was getting ready to take over for Moses, one of the last things Moses did in Deuteronomy 31, he got Joshua in front of all the people, and he looked at Joshua, and he said to him, be strong and courageous. And then in Joshua 1, the Lord himself, it says, spoke to Joshua. And guess what the Lord himself said? Be strong and courageous. And then the people all gathered around Joshua as they were getting ready to go, and the people looked at Joshua, and they said, be strong and courageous. Like, it's interesting to me that before this guy was about to go do what he was going to do, God on three different occasions made sure he understood he needed to be strong and courageous. Like, of all of the things he would need in that moment, why strength and courage? Because as a leader, there's so many other things people need. As a follower of Christ, there's so many other things we think we need. Why strength and courage? Like why would you pause in that moment and focus on that? Because we all face things just like Joshua. He was about to lead millions of people. He had never done it before. He was going to have to lead them into a battle that he had never really had to fight before. And so now he's going to have to look out for them and protect them. Like, I can't imagine the weight of millions of people on my shoulders and the thought of what it was going to take to do that, going into this place he had never been before. And the reality is we're all there. Like, we all have these moments where we're about to go into something we never thought we've been to before. You get married for the first time and you wake up the next day and you're like, oh my goodness, what am I in for, right? Something I haven't faced before. I need a little strength and courage. The first time you have kids and you're holding that kid and you're like, I don't know what I'm doing. Where's the instruction manual at for this thing, right? I need some strength and courage, especially in today's world, to be a good parent. That 2020 has been this entire year, oh my goodness, where we just don't know what tomorrow looks like, and we need some strength and courage from the Lord. And if you're there today, I want to look at two things. I want to look at one, I want to look at where we find strength and courage from. In Ephesians 6, verse 10, Paul says this as he's wrapping up this letter. He said, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Did you catch where he said to be strong in? He didn't say be strong in yourself and in your mighty power, did he? He said be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Not yours, but his. And in fact, if you look at the Amplified version, it kind of expounds on that idea a little bit more. It literally says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Draw your strength from him and be empowered through your union with him and in the power of his boundless might. Where does our strength come from? Our union with him. Strength and courage come from walking with Jesus. And in these moments, I think this is really nice because for me, it lets me remove a little pressure. Can I take some pressure off you today? You can't be strong enough. Now, can we all just breathe? And God doesn't even ask you to be strong enough. That's the funny thing. He says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Because he realizes at the end of the day, we aren't strong enough. That we don't have this unlimited source of power that he has. And so the invitation from Paul, the invitation from Jesus is this. It is to let his strength into your life so that he can be the strength that you need. Somebody needs to hear that today. You don't have to be strong enough. You just have to let his strength into your life so that you can be strong enough through him. Listen, I feel that pressure to be strong and courageous as a leader. I feel that pressure as a husband. Any dads out there feel that pressure as a father? Yeah. Moms feel that pressure in this season to take care of my kids and provide for them some sense of a normal life in the middle of all of this craziness. And I'm no homeschool parent. I don't know how we survived half of last year, but we feel this pressure to be something that we're just not strong enough to be good at. And how do we in those moments do that? Through him. Inviting his strength into our life, inviting his courage into our life, not trying to stand on our own, but seeking him so that he can give us the power to be what we can't be on our own. The reality is that he said that it's that union with Christ that gives us the strength to walk in Christ. Let me ask you, how strong is your union with Christ? Because I would say today that if you're wavering in strength and courage, it's because we've lost the connection with Christ that we've been called to have. Because if I will walk with Christ, I'll find the strength and courage that I need. But the moment that I'm trying to be strong enough on my own, I never seem to have enough. And so in order for me to find strength and courage, I've got to stay intentional to stay connected with Jesus. Just like we do in our marriage, right? Listen, if your union with Christ involves 1 hour on a Sunday and nothing more, and yet you're struggling to figure out why you can't get any momentum in your relationship with Jesus, let me suggest to you that there are 167 other hours in the week that you could invest in that union with Jesus. I don't know about you, but I spend more than 1 hour a week with my wife. I spend more than 1 hour a week with my kids. And we've been called in this same way to not wait for church every week so I can have that 1 hour to have that connection with Jesus, but we've been called to open up the Bible ourselves and start reading and taking it in on our own so that we can invest in that relationship with Jesus. That you don't have to come down to these altars alone to have a conversation with Jesus. This isn't like the old landlines with a direct line there. Like, you can talk to Jesus anytime you want to. You know when I talk to Jesus a lot? When I'm running. You know, I talk to Jesus a lot when I'm driving down the road. You know, I talk to Jesus a lot when somebody has pushed every button inside of me and I want to lay hands on them, and not in a good way. Because I realize it's this union with him that I need. It's this relationship with him. Why do we do life groups? Why do we do Bible studies? Why do we have a Digging Deep Bible study here? Why do we do life groups all over the place? Why do we offer classes to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus? Why do we do men's Bible studies and ladies' Bible studies? Because we are trying to help you to develop a union with Jesus that encompasses more than 1 hour on a weekend, but it becomes part of who you are. And that's the invitation from Christ. Let me come with you every day. Let me get up with you when you get up. Let me go to work with you when you go to work. Let me be in that car ride with you on the way back home. Let me be with you there at the end of the day when you're tired and frustrated and you're just ready for rest. Unload all of that stuff on me, and then we'll do it again tomorrow because I'll be here with you. It's that union with Christ. Let him. It is his power. His strength, but we've got to invest in that union together. That's where we get it, but the reality is, too, it starts to be, what does his strength look like? I think this is the challenge often at times, is because we don't get what real biblical strength looks like. I think we have a perception from the world, but I don't think we've necessarily caught on to the perspective that Jesus tried to offer through his life and through his time in Scripture. I think somewhere along the way, Jesus flipped what it looks like to be strong. In Matthew 5, starting in verse 38, it says this: "You've heard the law that says punishment must match the injury, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. If you're sued in court and your shirt is taken," I don't know why somebody take me to court for my shirt. I'd hope they want more than that, but "give them your coat too. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Give to those who ask, and don't turn away from those who want to borrow." Like, I thought you were talking about strength and courage, Pastor Jason. Like, I'm not getting where you're going with this. Did you notice what Jesus said there? He said, it's no longer an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. It's no longer, you did wrong to me, now I'm going to do wrong to you. I think sometimes we read these parts in Scripture and we think, they apply to somebody else at another time. Jesus is talking to us. See, Jesus is saying, in my kingdom, true strength and courage isn't found in how well you can retaliate and dish out revenge on somebody else that deserves it. He's saying, in my kingdom, here's what true strength looks like. Turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile. Don't give them what they deserve, because if you and I got what we deserve from Jesus, we don't really want what we deserve, because there ain't anybody, myself included, that's good enough to get what we deserve from Jesus. He flips the script on what it looks like to be strong and courageous. He changes the perspective for us, and he actually goes to the moment that he literally says that law of retaliation doesn't belong anymore. That vengeance no longer has a place in the life of a Christian. I know, it's like so quiet. Like, some of this stuff is what we learn though, right? And if you guys have a kid that was a biter growing up, and no matter what you did, like, you couldn't get him to stop biting. Let's see how many of you parents will really admit it. Any of you parents actually bite the biter so that they could learn? Yeah, see? All right, everybody. Yes, I'm telling you. I saw somebody that said my dog was biting me, so I bit my dog back. I'm like, yeah, I don't know about that. But I mean, somebody literally told me that the other day, and I'm like, ugh. There ain't enough toothpaste and mouthwash for that one for me. Why do we do that, though, to our kids, right? To help them. I'm going to pay you back with what you did because I'm trying to help you understand something, right? So if Jesus would actually say that we're not going to do that anymore as followers of Christ, could it be that he's actually trying to teach us something even better? See, we want to bite somebody back when they bite us. Can we just be honest and real today? Can we do that? So many moments in our marriage, we bite back. Why? Because our spouse bit us first. I know, like, nobody. Yeah, it's like, I don't know what to do now. I don't know if I'm supposed to amen. I'm sitting right next to him. It's all right. Silence is okay in this moment. Too many times we live in this world, and the picture we've been given is that we're supposed to dish back what people give to us. Respect is earned. Not what Scripture says. It says it's given. And yet somewhere along the way, we have this moment where Jesus is, I feel like, trying to show us what true strength and courage looks like. Because strength and courage is needed to live out what Jesus asks us to live. Listen, to hate somebody that hates you doesn't take any strength. To love somebody that hates you, that takes strength and courage. To hurt somebody that hurts you, that don't take anything. To help somebody that hurts you, that takes a lot of strength and courage. To look across the aisle of somebody that's from the opposite political party as you, hey, listen, I'm not getting political. I'm just getting moral. Okay? And even though they may think you're an idiot for what you believe, and you may think they're an idiot for what they believe, and we've kind of gotten this hair pulling fight with each other like they did on that video, takes a lot more to sit down and listen to that person and actually value them for who they are instead of what you think they are. That takes real strength and courage. Saw a political ad this week, blew my mind. Two guys from Utah running against each other. One was a Democrat and one was a Republican, and they actually did a video together. Imagine that. And they were civil and honorable to each other, even though they were on opposite sides of the spectrum. And they encouraged the people that were voting for them, knowing that they were voting against each other, to at least act with the same civility and honor that the two of them were trying to present to the people of Utah. And I thought, what a concept. Because that's what Christ has called us to. That's what true strength and courage is. It doesn't take strength to tear somebody down. It takes strength and courage to build somebody up. See, that law of retaliation is amazing to me, because when Jesus said turn the other cheek, he's essentially saying to look at that person and recognize that something is hurting and broken inside of them so much that it drove them to slap you or hit you in that one side. And so you look back at them and say, man, I see the hurt and pain inside of you, and if you need to get that out, here's the other one. That takes strength and courage. That Jesus actually, when he was talking about being sued, and if they take your shirt, give them your cloak, that Jesus is saying, like, listen, it would be much better for you to sue me, and if I offended you and got something wrong, here, let me give you more than what you asked for, because this relationship is worth more than any of the stuff I could have. So let me give you above and beyond, because this relationship with you is worth way more than the stuff you could try to take away from me in court. Now, when Jesus said when a soldier wants you to go 1 mile, but you go two, like if you know what it was like back in those days, like a Roman soldier could just be absolutely cruel to anybody and everybody he wanted to, and nobody was going to stop him. That if he saw a Jew and he wanted to break their kneecaps, he could break their kneecaps. And so when they stopped a Jew and said, you got to carry this stuff for me for 1 mile, what Jesus is saying is you're going to look at that soldier and you're going to say, man, your job must be hard. And that gear must be really heavy. And I know that you're asking for 1 mile, but I'm going to throw that gear on my back and I'm going to go 2 miles because I care about you and I want to help you. The man who hated him, he was willing to go the extra mile and honor that person rather than fight the power it be with more violence. Because it takes more strength and courage to love somebody than it does to hate somebody. And it's so hard in today's world because it feels like this is all the enemy wants to do. Is to divide and destroy, divide and destroy. Get us to hate somebody. And Jesus is saying, no, 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 no. I've called you to be strong and courageous, and to do that, I need you to walk different than the world walks. And I need you to look different than the world looks. And I need you to act different than the rest of the world acts. That somewhere along the way, we've been called to love differently and live differently because it's the strong and courageous thing to do. It takes more courage to be patient than it does to be impatient with somebody. It takes more courage to have peace than it does to have anxiety and worry. I don't have to try that hard to get the anxiety and worry part down. It takes a lot more to try to find peace in those moments. Takes a lot more courage to have self and control than it does to lack restraint and go for whatever we want. And Jesus says, I can help you with all of this. Because of our relationship, because of our union, I'm not asking you to do this on your own. I'm asking you to let me come into your life and give you the power to be strong and courageous in a way that nobody else can. And then here's the best part of all. Jesus said, let me show you. And it's at the end of all four Gospels because they took Jesus and they arrested him. The innocent man who had nothing to be guilty of, and they arrested him. And they beat him and they accused him of all these things that he never did. And he never got mad in one moment and started going back at them and trying to defend himself. Scripture actually says that he was literally silent. And then they beat him and they whipped him. And while they were tearing his flesh with that whip, he was never yelling profanities at them and telling them how bad he was. He just took it. And then while they nailed him to a cross and people were mocking him and he was the Son of God who had the ability to call down as many angels as he needed from heaven to wipe out all of these people that were crucifying and killing him, he stayed nailed to the cross and hung there and died for people that didn't deserve it, that didn't earn it. And he said, let me show you what true love and true strength and true courage looks like. And he led the example for us to be able to see. He modeled for us. Is it hard? Yes, it is. Like, I'm not going to pretend. Start doing good things for God's kingdom, and I promise the critics are going to come out of the woodwork. And people are going to start throwing the sticks and stones, and you're going to get attacked. And those are the perfect moments that we have to show the love of Christ and be strong and courageous in a way that the world doesn't understand. And in a way that sets us apart from everybody else, in a way that points not to me, but to Christ. Because in those moments, like, if you ever see any of those moments come out of me, it's not Jason being strong enough. Like, let me get that clear right now. I tell people all the time, I'm like the Incredible Hulk from Avengers. Like, I'm angry all the time. He lives inside of me, okay? Like, let's just clear that out really fast. In those moments, if I ever get this right, it's because Jesus lives inside of me and he's giving me power to do something that I can't do on my own. It's not Jason that's doing anything good. It's Jesus doing something good through me, sometimes in spite of me. And he calls the same for you, that it may take courage to love your spouse that's hurt you, to love your spouse and stick it out in this marriage rather than walk away. It'd be easier to give up and walk out, but Jesus didn't give up and walk out on us. Maybe those moments where your kids are absolutely driving you crazy and you don't think you can do it anymore. Those are the moments to lean into Jesus and say, God, I don't have the strength, but make me strong and courageous to be what I can't be. Those moments when the diagnosis comes from the doctor and everything in your world flips upside down and you don't understand why God would let something happen to you like this. And Jesus says, ho, 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 you don't have to be strong enough in this moment. Come to me. Bring it to me. Bring your marriage to me. Bring your health to me. Bring your finances to me. Bring your relationship with your kids to me. Bring your relationship with your family members, with your coworkers. Bring them to me. And I will give you the strength you need to live out what I've asked you to live, because you're strong and courageous when you follow Jesus, when you walk with him. You don't get strength and courage and then walk with Jesus. You walk with Jesus and you find strength and courage. There's a moment, I think, that kind of tells this really well. Martin Luther King Jr. has a couple of really incredible quotes about these moments. He said, the ultimate weakness of violence is that the descending spiral begetting the very thing it seeks to destroy, instead of diminishing evil, it multiplies it. Through violence, you may murder a liar, but you cannot murder the lie, nor establish truth. Through violence, you may murder the hater, but you do not murder the hate. And violence merely increases hate, and returning violence for violence multiplies violence, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of the stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. And hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that. And then he has this other one that he tags in there. He says, love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. I think one of the greatest examples next to Jesus has to be somebody like Martin Luther King to me, to live out what he lived. And here's the amazing thing that I want you guys to catch, because I think so many times we glorify somebody after these moments and think, man, I could never be like him. So let me give you a sneak peek into the backstory of Martin Luther King if you've never heard this before, but But all of those moments that you just heard almost never happened. Because there was a moment when he was in Montgomery, Alabama, in the middle of all of the racial tensions that live there, and the night before he had got arrested and taken to jail for driving 30 in a 25. I'm glad they don't do that anymore, because I'm way past the 5 mile an hour. And then when he got out of jail the next day, he goes home to his wife and his 2-month-old daughter to get a phone call, and somebody's threatening to kill him. And in this moment, he's sitting here looking at his wife and looking at his daughter as they sleep, thinking, what have I done? I've put my family in jeopardy. I've put my life in jeopardy. And maybe I just need to give up to protect my wife and kids. And the story that I read was that he made a pot of coffee and he sat down at the table and he prayed this prayer. And maybe you've had to pray a prayer like this sometime before too. He said, Lord, I'm down here trying to do what's right. And I still think I'm right. And I'm here taking a stand for what I believe is right. But Lord, I must confess that I'm weak now. And I'm faltering. And I'm losing my courage. Now I'm afraid. And I can't let people see me like this, because if they see me weak and losing my courage, they'll begin to get weak. And the people are looking to me for leadership. And if I stand before them without strength or courage, they'll falter too. I'm at the end of my powers. I have nothing left. And I've come to the point where I can't face it alone. Anybody ever felt like that? And it was in that moment that Martin Luther King says that God spoke to him, and he heard the voice of God. So you stand for righteousness, you stand for justice, and you stand for truth, and I'll be with you every step of the way. And with those few words are all he needed to receive strength from the Lord. To go out and do what God had called him to do. That he wasn't a strong man that had it all together. He was a weak man who had ran out of his own strength. And in that moment, he realized he had all the strength he needed when he would lean on Jesus. You may be a strong man or a strong woman, but you aren't that strong. And one thing I've learned, that the best place for me to be is at the end of my strength. At the end of my ability to make something happen, where I've had to lean into Jesus and trust him to be the strength I need. Trust him to be the courage I need. Trust him to help me love somebody the way he does, to be patient the way he would be patient, to be gentle and meek the way he calls us to be gentle and meek. And the world would say all of those things are signs of weakness, and Jesus would say, no, 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 no. All of those things are signs of strength and courage in my kingdom. And all of those things are possible if you would just invite me and my power and my might into your life too. Yeah. For you, not just for me, for you. Every head bow, every eye closed, nobody looking around. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus. Listen to me this morning. Don't wait for the day you feel strong and courageous enough to give your life to Christ. Today is the day. And if you would give your life to Christ, you would find all the strength and courage you need to face whatever you're facing. Because after today, if you give your life to him, you wouldn't have to face it alone. He says, I'll go with you. And I'll give you the strength and courage to be what I've called you to be. But it starts by recognizing that you've done everything you can on your own. And today you need somebody, and that somebody's Jesus. Maybe you feel like that prayer that Martin Luther King prayed, man, I'm at my end, God, I'm at the end of my strength. I'm weak, I'm scared, I'm afraid, I don't know what to do anymore, and I just need you, Jesus. So if you're here today, and maybe you've never given your life to Jesus before, or maybe you made that commitment a long time ago, but you've just not been living for him, and you want to make a new commitment to Jesus today. If that's you, would you slip your hand up so that we could put a Bible in your hand and pray for you? If you're going to say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus today. Is there anybody? Right back there in the back. Keep your hand up. They're going to come put a Bible in your hand. Anybody else? Say, I need to give my life to Jesus, or maybe I just need to make a new commitment to him today because I've not been living for him. Slip your hand up. We're going to put a Bible in your hand. If you raised your hand, would you mind to look up at me? Would you mind to come up front here this morning and let me pray with you? Would you do that this morning? I'm not here to embarrass you. We just want to celebrate you. Yeah. What's your name?
Layla.
Layla? Oh, I love it.
Megan.
Megan and Layla. Listen, I just want to pray with you today. There's nothing magical about this, but I believe if you mean it from the bottom of your heart, if you mean it with all that you are, Jesus is going to come in and save you and do an awesome work inside of you. Can you guys pray with me this morning? Can everybody else join with us in prayer this morning too? Say, Dear Jesus, I need you to come into my life. To forgive me of my sins and make me brand new. Jesus, help me to live for you and help me to love you and follow you all the days of my life. I put you in charge, Jesus. Give me strength and courage to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, I want to encourage you guys with something to keep coming back. Keep showing up here and let us help you get connected with you and help you keep growing in your relationship with Jesus. Can you do that for us? Awesome. Would you go over there and visit with those ladies for just 1 second on your way out? Yeah, let's celebrate, Lone Star. Can we stand all across this place? How many of you would say that you need some strength and courage the way God's asked us to be strong and courageous? Yeah, all across this place. Hands here, hands online. Can we keep those hands up and just ask God to give us that strength today that we'll be strong in the Lord and the power of his might? God, I thank you for every hand that's raised here, for every hand that's raised online, for those that are watching all over the world that may be joining with us here in this moment, God. We stick to Ephesians 6:10. Let us be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. God, we aren't strong enough to love and live the way you've called us to, but we know this. We don't want to be defined by what the world calls strength and courage. We want to be defined by what you call strength and courage, Jesus. And so fill us up with your strength. Give us the boldness and the courage to love like you, to live like you, to live different than what the world looks like so we can point those that desperately need you, Jesus. We can point them to you. I pray for marriages to find the strength and courage to be restored and healed the way you want them to, for families to be put back together, for health to be restored, for finances to be opened up, God, that as they surrender to you and they've reached the moment where they're out of strength and they've got no more to carry on, that they would find all of the strength they need in you. That should they leave here in this place in this week and have a moment, God, where the enemy just tries to knock them down, may they find you standing right there catching them and giving them the strength they need to take one more step closer to you, Jesus. Jesus, raise up a people that are strong and courageous, that are world changers, that won't settle for average, that won't settle for the way things are, but that would press on to become who you've created us to be, Jesus. And we ask it all in your name. And everybody said, amen. Listen, if you need prayer this morning, our prayer team is down here. If you're one of those volunteers, grab your gift on the way out. But we love you guys. We'll see you back here next week.